Derek B. and Prayer, Jim Horton, and the ripples that come out from when one person, in this case, is pretty close to being promoted home, and the ripples that go out from that, starting with his wife, immediate family, and then the reach of friends and all, be in prayer. Dr. Rod Becker is today, late evening and early evening, and his grandfather, who is a Christian and a wonderful guy, I've got to meet Don several times, and he's in the hospital, he's 90 years old, and it's one of those things that's pushed. The Lord may be very close to sending him home. And the prayer there is for Don, that's his grandfather's wife, Thelma, and then Thelma also, Thelma. And it's a day-by-day thing. Mr. Becker, the grandfather, like yesterday or the day before, I forgot when it was, just, I don't want to take anything. Just give me something to kill the pain and let me go home. And so Rod's dad went down and he decided to go ahead and let him take care of him. And so it's in prayer. It's again, very close family member, and those kinds of things affect a lot of things, and sometimes affect in ways we don't know about. So we have to be prepared in the area of wisdom and the leading of the Spirit in that kind of situation. How's Raymond? Yeah. I have to deal with this, you know. The Lord's getting ready to call us home. So, not yet. Well, let's be in prayer for Raymond, and that's just his father, and Thelma, that's just his mother, and the family, everyone that's associated in that respect. Be in prayer for my mom. She went to hospital last week, and talked to her every day, and she's just okay, and some days, you know, why didn't God just take me home? And, you know, let me say this, that this is one reason I believe that God does our body the way it does, because, you know, which one of us, you know, like if we talk to Jerry and Les, in the sense of heaven and all, they're ready to go, but they're not ready to go home. They're young and strong, but the older we get, and especially when the body just says, hey, I'm through, and this starts breaking down, there's a real thing. I want to go home. And I think that this is one of the wonderful grace of God, that the life starts, and we just kind of go through and serve and go through the battles and the testings and the transforming into the image of Christ. And then as the body starts to, we're ready. It's not a fearful trip. Hey, get me out of this. Let me go home, and let me just drop this weak old body. And that's just a wonderful grace of God to me. That it's another little preparation. I want to get out of here. I want to go home. And it's such a strengthening to that. So, we're affected here by some older people, and let's be in prayer in regard to those people. Okay, any other requests? Yes? I hear more of it in the news each day, or not each day, but daily. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we're prayer that you have wisdom when those circumstances are just thrown in your lap and you have no choice but to express it. That's beautiful. And so, let's continue to be in prayer. As Pat comes in contact with people, as Bruce comes in contact with people moving in for his company's work, and so let's continue to be in prayer in that respect. I'd like you to be in prayer for Hot Springs, Arkansas. Some very good things are beginning to happen. And also, it's just fun to me to watch the roadblocks that the adversary puts up three or four people that were going to come in from Little Rock. Just boom, left field, work, said the boss, no, we got to do this. And so it's funny how, the roadblock comes up to getting into to getting things done. So, but there are some people expected, unexpected, and some ifs, and so be in prayer in a lot of respects about what's going on there. Be in prayer in regards to those coming, that the Spirit will start working on their soul of being there and hearing what needs to be heard, those that will come, and be in prayer for Gene, who is having it. He's going through a lot of pressure. He has a mother who is just incapacitated, just bedridden. See, how old is y'all's mom? That is it. But she's just, she's an invalid in that sense. And Jean's in a lot of different battles herself in this respect. So let's be in prayer for her, be in prayer for those that come, be prayer for me, traveling up there, and in the wisdom and teaching. And I need your prayers so you can be a part of what goes on there. And you can be a part in that respect. And just be in prayer each evening in regard to the teaching and the when I say teaching, not just from my lips, but when it comes to mind and in the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, making it very clear. And or making it confused to the point that questions and so that other things are brought out. So please be in prayer in regard to Hot Springs and everyone that'll be there and that respect. So please be in prayer in that. Didn't have time to check with my friend. I'm gonna jump here a minute. I want to be in prayer for Jeff McKenzie's brother. Is that okay? We had a wonderful time Monday morning, a couple hours Monday morning, the three of us talking. And when you're done, it's just so classic, and that's why I want to share it with you, give it with you. It's just you do something, you have a list, and we've studied lists. You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to do for God. And you do it nearly all your life. And then you reach the verse 13 in Isaiah 28 where you just fall backward and it isn't working. It isn't real. It isn't powerful. And a lot happens in the soul. And Jeff's brother is going through that right now. And I apologize. His first name is skipping me. Alan. And let's be in prayer. We just had a wonderful time talking. And so he sees a lot of things, but he's got things to work out in his soul, as a lot of us do when we make that. Some people make it go from some kind of a list to spirituality and a life of faith without much battle inside. And others of us have done a list so long, and it's quite a battle. So let's be in prayer for Alan, in prayer for Jeff, that he'll be a brother who'll be there and not press anymore, just silently be there, and when his brother's ready, boom. So Jeff will be there with the wisdom of Scripture. And that's very important to Jeff, very important to me. So please be in prayer for him and for Jeff's dad, Harmon. And so let's be in prayer in that respect. Any other requests? Yes. She's in a lot of pain. Okay, gotta pray. Maybe that, talk to Jerry and open up a little bit and give Jerry an opportunity. So, yeah, let's just pray. God will use that pain. There's no accidents. What you have to remember, there aren't any. For the Christian, zero. And for the influence of the gospel on an unbeliever, zero. And what we want to be is in that wisdom. And that's why I'm spending the time on Wednesday evening, human relationships. It's vital. I hope it isn't boring you or tiring you, but this is where we live, is in a human relationship world. And a lot of cool things to learn from Scripture, but to me, being transformed into the image of Christ is what this is about. And he came to reconcile man. So these are wonderful opportunities and wonderful times for us to be in prayer for each other, with each other. And again, I'll remind you as we stop now and go into prayer. Okay, everybody hasn't said pray for me or this, that, but we all know everyone here is in the battle. You know you are. And so you can sit here and say, okay, this is what's going on in my life, and nobody really knows all that's going on. Sometimes I forget different things. Anything new on Steve? Anything new on who's going to donate? Anything? Mark is? Mark to Mark. Need prayer for him, of course, for the family, Cecilia, Mark, and the doctors, and what God is doing there. So, you know, we could just go through, and if we opened up, we're all in our battle. Don't make any mistake about it. I have mine. John Harvey has his, and we have our battles. And I know, I don't know what it is, but even though Bruce sits here with a wonderful smile, silently and worships and just seems to be, I know he's in the battle. And you do too. So let's be in prayer with and for each other, and we'll continue in this battle, and the individual test, so that we can be an encouragement both to each other and for each other. That's what this is about. Let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Wait a minute. Time out. That's when you kind of know God wants you to witness. I mean, when they come up, get right in your face, do you know the gospel? It's kind of hard to say no and walk away. She's going to ask the question. So, let's be in prayer for the lady, Juanita. Let's be in prayer for Juanita. Now, that's a great story. Jean was just in buying a cake for their child and birthday, and lady says, "Are you a Christian?" I mean, wham, there you are. And the conversation proceeds. No accident. So let's be in prayer. Phil, how you doing on the workshop? Kurt? Still looking. Okay, we'll continue to be in prayer for Philip as he looks in regard to work and what God has in store there, and he and his wife. And okay. Let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Let's pray. You have made it very clear, Heavenly Father, in regard to the power of prayer. Two or more are gathered. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, that resides even in the very person of Jesus Christ. We have let our request be made known to you, Heavenly Father. So many directly related to those in our assembly, sisters and parents and friends, Heavenly Father, all of these things affect our inner relationship with other believers. And therefore, Father, we pray that we'll continue to grow in the understanding of spiritual love and watch and have that hope in regard to the Holy Spirit pouring that love into us. Now, Father, as we enter into another domain in our personal lives and dealing with sin, we pray that your Spirit will illuminate for us, Father, the truth that is set before us, that we, Heavenly Father, might understand the culprit of sin and so many dimensions of it, what to do with it from our perspective, that we might move on in fellowship with your Spirit and be transformed into the very image of our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're dealing with the fact of sin. One of the great problems in living a Christian life is acts of sin. Now, the key things I want to talk about in regard to sin, of course, there is the what we'll call the personal act of sin. And when we talk about the personal act of sin, and we know that sin takes us out of the spiritual life, out of being transformed into the image of Christ, out of any reward at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So we have personal acts of sin. Now, what we're doing is you're walking by faith, and then you stop walking by faith for whatever reason, reaction, distraction, push, pull, whatever it may be. You stop walking by faith, and sin becomes the automatic result of not walking by faith. The two other concepts that I want to deal with as we move back into our study tonight in regard to sin. One of those that horrifies a lot of Christians is what we'll call patterns of sin or sin pattern. And I want to tell you that every person has sin patterns. They're just areas, patterns of sin that we're never going to get away from. There's a constant battle in a believer's life. This is why the importance in the study of Peter of denying Jesus Christ three times. People, if it had happened 100 more times that night, Peter would have continued to deny it. It would not have changed. We all have patterns of sin. And the more you walk in the power of the Spirit, the more the intrusion and that is pulled, taken out, but we're always going to deal with a pattern of sin. Now, there's another thing we have to be aware of, and that's to be, put it this way, that is to be in a sin momentum. Not getting a good pen here tonight. In a sin momentum. Now, what I mean by this is, in a sin momentum, what I mean is that you're not going in a sin momentum. Let's just say you're not. It may be a moment or two or a little bit for something, but you're not going to get back into the light when you're in the sin momentum. You're just simply not going to get into the light. And you're going to remain in the momentum of sin. And so when you are in a momentum of sin, this is good, in a sin momentum, it just means you're constantly walking in that sin momentum and you're not going to break out of that until something happens. That's different from having a sin pattern. We all have a sin pattern. Now we have a momentum of sin. This is in a lot of different ways. For an example, if a person is committing whatever the personal act of sins, whether they're related to the sin pattern or reaction or whatever it is, if they are in, for an example, in our study in 1 John, if they're in denial, they're not going to come out of the sin pattern, and they're going to continue in that sin momentum as long as they stay in denial. If you get a group like we're studying that Paul is working with, who have the hardening of the heart, are insensitive to their sin, they know they're sinning, and big deal. Just big deal. So what? You know? And I'll take care of it in some way. And it isn't by faith. And it isn't by repentance faith. So they have a hardening of, they will continue in this sin momentum. Now, when you're in a sin momentum, it's different than a sin pattern. And it's different from a personal act of sin. This makes up a whole walk of acts of sin, a whole cluster as you continue, the longer you stay in this. And it can be also not only denial, not only the hardening of the heart, but things like they're doing in James, they blame God, angry at God, or you're in some kind of a religious, legalistic way of handling it, which is not taking you to faith, so you're just continuing in it. It takes on a different characteristic than maybe some blatant overt sin, but you continue in this sin momentum. So we're talking about different things to deal with sin. Is this kind of clear? Okay, now, let's talk about what we're going to do, what spiritual love does. This one that I have here is a person sins, and if they are under the visiting minister spirit, boom, they're right back into faith and they continue to move on. This is the way hopefully we are in our life. This one, you're always going to be battling probably throughout your life, depending. And now, when we come to this one, then what happens here is what we're looking at in our study in 2 Corinthians right now is we're dealing with a believer who sees another believer in a sin momentum. They're not going to break out of it. We're not talking about a pattern, and we're not talking about a personal act. We're talking about they're in a momentum. Now, what happens, what do we do in this aspect right here? What some believers do is they become very self-righteous and very judgmental, and they attack and they judge and get into a great deal of self-righteousness in regard to this. What we're seeing right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is spiritual love at one of its finest hours. We're seeing spiritual love, the sensitivity of spiritual love to a believer, in this case a group of believers, who are in sin momentum. They're not breaking out. They're not going to faith. They don't want to. And so you can either, you know, to heck with them and move on and disassociate, or we can move to where Paul is in our study. So we're seeing spiritual love in its finest hour in dealing with a believer, in this case believers, who are in a sin momentum. So let's get working where we are then in this case. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we have completed verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, for though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. Parentheses, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while, parentheses closed, I now rejoice. See, though I did regret it, I now rejoice. That's the way it really reads. And then he says, I don't rejoice that you were made sorrowful. That's the way religious people, self-righteous people, they enjoy seeing other people in sorrow. They enjoy, you pay for this. No, Jesus Christ paid for this, dear people. That's what we're studying about the knife on Sunday. That's the study of the knife. He took the knife for it. So he's already paid. But here he says, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of or into repentance, so that for you were made sorrowful according to God. And you'll call this deals with how God the Holy Spirit brings this sorrow on us. Now why? In order that the purpose of the sorrow by the Holy Spirit, you believers, might not suffer loss due to being out of the light. And we'll take a look at that. I do want to finish that phrase. In anything through us. Now, Paul, that you might not suffer loss. I want to deal with some of that for a moment. Paul is teaching truth. Paul is teaching a spiritual life by faith. Paul has come through his own personal battle. He went through a long battle to get here. All you have to do is read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. You get a picture of Paul's battle. Some people don't battle. Some people hear this maybe for the first time, and it makes great sense. Seeing it from how this I've saved, this is how I live. But when people come out of a list, generally this becomes a big battle. So Paul went back to try to live by the law. And Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 are very personal, powerful passages in dealing with Paul's own personal battle. So, and now he is teaching the spiritual life by faith. But in Corinth, where he went and started the church, they are resenting and rejecting what he teaches. Now, if Paul, talking about spiritual life, if Paul does not go to them, in this case in writing a rather severe letter to them, he's not done his job. Because spiritual love doesn't just live and let live. I hope you understand that. spiritual love doesn't just walk away. There may come a point where you have to separate. That's a long way down the road. We're not even near there yet for Paul here. Depends on what they're going to do about his letter. But it doesn't walk away. You don't. Spiritual love can't do that. Because remember, fundamental to spiritual love is what? Being reconciled to God. That's why Christ loved us and died on a cross. That's why God sent his son, his only son, whom he loved, Jesus, to die on a cross, to bring us to him. So the love isn't going to walk away. How it deals with it is another issue. It's not going to judge, put them down, but it's going to make it very clear. And in their case, they became sorrowful about it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Someone else may become angry. I'm sorry you're angry. We could say, I'm sorry you're angry. You're angry only for a while. If it's done in spiritual love. I'm not talking about, Paul didn't go in there with some self-righteous attitude, judgmental attitude. He simply pointed out the absence of faith and where they were headed. That's what spiritual love would do. So if Paul does not go to them in this letter, when I say go to them, I mean in this form of a letter, and there are so many different ways. Here it's a letter, face-to-face, phone in our society, email, or whatever it may be. He's doing what he has to do, and it'd be wrong if he didn't. Paul will not have done his job. When you think a believer to be in this kind of situation, in a momentum of sin, and remember what I mean by momentum now. We've got to kind of work with our terms because they're just for us. They're not even classic. We've got the personal act of sin, and then we've got a pattern, and we all may have to, we all, not may, we all deal with this in different ways. Some people, it's self-righteous in the religious sense and human good, and it's difficult to see. That's sin. And others, it's more blatant to see. Okay. But we're talking about where they're in a momentum and they don't come out. They don't come out at all. So this is what Paul is doing here. Paul is dealing with this. So when you think a believer to be in the momentum of sin, you've got to go to that believer, but always in your mind, you're being led by spiritual love. And I've showed you passages in chapters 1 and 2 of this, of 2 Corinthians, where this is from his love. And we have to go back over, I'll show it. This is from his love. And it will be shown that way. The way you go to somebody who's in a momentum of sin, whether you're an arrogant, self-righteous, judgmental, or not, they'll know. They'll know from where you're coming to them. Now, he's got to go to them, and he's got to talk with them and let them know what is going on. And you have to go with them in the purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is to bring them back into their relationship with God the Holy Spirit, people. In other words, your objective is reconciliation. Reconciliation first with God, and then reconciliation with others. Because when they're in the momentum, sin momentum, then they cannot be in proper relationship with other believers. Even close ones. Cannot. And so this is the objective that we're dealing with, Paul's dealing with. Don't want you to lose. I want you to be in fellowship so that you don't lose. This is the motivation. We get his motivation so that you don't suffer loss. I want you back, reconciled with God. It's the heart. That's the plea that he has. He's there to reconcile, not to judge them. So often believers, if they do go to other believers, they go to make them sorrowful. They go to judge over them, lord over them, make them crawl, all this kind of thing. Sometimes there's another one, and I don't know which is worse, but there's another one where they don't even go to the other believer. They don't go to this believer in this. What they do is they talk about it to everybody else. They malign, they gossip, they slander. And you say, I hear what you're saying. Let me ask you a question. Have you gone to them? Oh, no, it's not my place. But it's your place to talk about it. Would you mind explaining that? I missed something here. It's not your place out of love to go to them and bring them back into reconciliation, but it is your place to gossip and malign and slander. Now, let me try to understand that in the spiritual life. Let me try to understand that as it works the spiritual love. Let me try to understand that where it works out best for their benefit instead of your benefit. Because, people, it doesn't. It comes time to examine our own souls when we know someone in this problem. It comes time to examine where we are. That's why Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 tells us to go to another believer, but be careful. Because it's so easy for us to fall into a snare. So sometimes this is what believers do. They either go in a judgmental sense, or two, they don't go, but they judge and justify it. Christ makes it very clear. I thought the struggle with how deep I want to go in this momentum of our study, but right now we're already on one trip off of First John, so I'm not there. But in the teachings of Jesus Christ, makes it very clear that we are to go to another believer. We are to. As we go to that believer, but always remember the objective and the motivation is spiritual love. The objective is reconciliation back with God the Holy Spirit. This is the objective. This is the goal. This is our purpose. It's not for me. It is for them, and they will not suffer loss at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So we go to that believer, and he tells us to go to that believer. To bring them to the point of repentance. This is his word. If they do, it's over. It is over. Boom. They snap, whatever case we're in, it's over. You don't hold anything against them. This is not the Moran Act. This is grace. This is what we're here for in regard with one another. Now, if Paul does not come to them, they're going to lose. Now, let's see what they lose. He says, in order that you might not, you believers, might not suffer loss in anything through us. Okay. Now, if Paul doesn't go to them, they lose what? What do they lose? First thing they lose his teaching of truth. They lose his teaching of faith. The spiritual life by faith. Now, if they reject that and all of, let me just put a parenthesis here where we are, because we've already done this once. We've seen that they responded, and that's why he now rejoices. If they had not responded, then he would have had to let them go their course. But they responded, and that's what's beautiful. That is what's beautiful. So if they just say, hey, we don't want that, and we're going to continue in this, then that's when you just say, fine. Okay, I've done this, and now all I can do is stand back and be in constant prayer. And let the Holy Spirit take over. And some people may, and some people may never come out of it. Some may come out of it later. Now, so he wants them to respond to his teaching of the spiritual life by faith, and that will transform them into the image of Christ. So they suffer as long as they continue in their momentum of sin, insensitive, and that's why they're going to have to be brought to sorrow. If they continue in that pattern, people, they lose this teaching of spirituality by faith. That's the first thing they lose. This means that they're going to lose out on living the spiritual life by faith, and this means they're going to lose out on eternal rewards. So this is what they're going to lose out on if they continue in refusing to respond to the Holy Spirit by faith. People, this has got to be a reality. The hope of standing before Christ, which every one of us will, and have our lives looked at by Him, it's got to be a reality. And Paul doesn't want them to lose out on rewards. No pastor would, but I want to add something. No Christian does. People, it isn't because Paul has a gift and I have a gift. Every one of you should desire that anyone comes into your periphery, you do not want them to lose out on eternal rewards, and it hurts when they're off in this momentum, and they're off doing this, and they're off doing that, and they're not walking by faith. They're not being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. So it becomes a reality to you in your life, but it's to become a reality in regard to others. I want others to have this reward. See, people, this is why love is not jealous. Because spiritual love wants everybody to get lots of rewards. And it's not jealous. Human love is jealous. America builds on that. The winners and the losers. Those who make it, those who don't. American history. These are the winners. These are the people who made it happen. But in spiritual love, and everybody. I don't even want everybody to be rich on earth. I don't care. But everybody in the body of Christ, when they stand before Jesus Christ, can get some rewards, a lot of them. And that's what's important. And it should be important to you, with a family member, with a friend, certainly self, but with a family member and a friend that comes into your periphery. So they're going to lose if he doesn't come to them. And so the principle, when you're in a proper fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in proper fellowship with Jesus Christ, proper fellowship with God the Father, people, you're in proper fellowship with each other. All of these things are His desire. I want to be in proper fellowship with you believers in Corinth. Man, I started that assembly. I went in there and gave the gospel, and we started the assembly. And I want to come back and I want to teach. And all the things that Paul did. But if they don't respond, they're going to lose out. They're going to lose on what Paul has to give them. First, they have to suffer this hurt. And if they don't respond, they're going to suffer loss. And Paul doesn't want them to suffer loss. Okay, now we're ready for verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. I'm going off of verse 9 now, so that you won't suffer any loss to us. Now, verse 10. For, let me say something about through us. Anything through us. People, please understand that Paul, and I just say this out of personal experience, so it draws from that principle what's here. Paul doesn't mean when he says anything through us that he's the only one on planet Earth teaching a spiritual life. If they responded some of the others who were teaching it, who understood it clearly, like Silas understood it clearly. Apollos apparently did. Then that he's not excluding that. But right now he's the one in contact with them. He's the one who is the apostle of their assembly. Okay, now verse 10. For the sorrow. Now this time, remember way back when we started this, I put all those words so we could flow. This time we have the noun lupe of the verb that we have seen. I've been studying lupeo, again, meaning it's pain, inner grief, inner sorrow that's going on inside of the believer. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God. He's still on this sorrow kick. Why, Paul? Why didn't he drop it? Why didn't he drop it after verse 8, certainly after verse 9? If you'll understand why Paul did not drop that, you'll understand why Paul develops this the way that he does. Why he develops the recovery process the way he does. Why does John go from how God's going to deal with sin, he's faithful and just, already forgiven, to Jesus Christ is an advocate, to Jesus Christ is a propitiate? Why doesn't he just drop that? Because that's his momentum in what their problem was in denial. You don't have to. It goes to all the reasons they don't have to be in denial. Paul, these people have been hurt. And he doesn't want them to hurt. And he wants them to understand the hurt. So that's why he develops this the way he does. If we look at James, they were in blaming God, and the way James deals with the recovery from sin is because of their problem. And so that led him in a path. It's very easy to me. I hope it's easy for you to see what I'm trying to say here. Why Paul goes through it the way he does, and John doesn't do that, he goes through it another way. Why don't they all just come right out and say, kind of like the way Paul did it, because it's pretty clear. Because they all have a different thing that they're dealing with, different areas of the believers that they're writing to. Okay, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God, that's tata, we do not have will here, we have tata, according to God, so this is a sorrow that is from God, it's designed by God, it's in the will of God. I have no problem with the word will there, but it's according to God. God the Holy Spirit produces this. For the sorrow that is according to God, we dealt with the phrase in the previous verse, according to God. So this is a sorrow of grief that is brought on by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, God doing this. And I want to remind you where you are in this. Here is spiritual love, and you know a believer, someone you care very much about, because Paul cares about these people. They're in a sin momentum, meaning they're constant here. Their life is this. And so you come to them. You don't want them to be hurt, be sorrowful, angry, whatever it may be. But if that's what the Holy Spirit has to take them to, then that's what the Holy Spirit has to take them to. That's what we have here. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make them sorrow. It's God's will. People, it's first of all God's will that we are reconciled. It's God's will that we receive rewards. People, he doesn't have a big cake or a big piece of pie in the sky. And he's going to divide that pie up into a lot of rewards. People, the bakery in heaven is just unlimited. There's pies for everybody. And he wants to give it to every believer. That's his desire. So then his desire is that we do not sin. John's statement, I write these things that you do not sin. So that we can have those rewards. So that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So God sent the Spirit for this purpose, to convict. And the work, sometimes, not always, sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit is to produce sorrow. Sometimes it is to produce confession. To acknowledge it. Don't be afraid. Don't stand here continuing to sin because you won't deny. Sometimes it's to remember. The Holy Spirit, and we've studied all these, just to cause you to remember. Sometimes to break down the self-righteous attitude, as with Job and David. Whatever it takes. This is why sometimes when you pray for people, I really don't know what to pray. So we pray for the work of God the Holy Spirit in that person's life. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because if they are a believer, inside of them is the third member of the Godhead. Don't ever forget that. There's a series out, and I'm not negative about it. It's just, I think maybe it'll give some people the wrong idea sometimes. But for the first time, I watched it the other night, this thing about angels and on coming to people. And, boy, if an angel would go, you know, send an angel to this person and let the angel let them know that they are in a sin momentum, and maybe an angel can get them out. People, inside of them is God. Now, take your pick. God or an angel or man? Man that's dead come back or man that's alive? Either case. Take your pick. I'll take God. I take God working inside of that believer to just shake them. And if it's sorrow, if it's confession, if it's sorrow here, if it's coming face to face with some idea, a fact of sin like with David or with Job, whatever it takes. And rest assured, God knows. God knows. One line in the one I saw was a powerful line. It's the kind of line that, unless you're listening, it slips by you because you're concentrating on the angels And this one angel said, from this point it's up to God. Wow. The ultimate power source. The ultimate source of knowledge. That's where we want it. It's right there. And inside of another believer is God residing. If they're an unbeliever, who can convict? Inside God, the Holy Spirit. So it was dealing with the third member of the Godhead here. And that's very powerful. So whatever it's going to take to bring this about. Okay, now look at the word produces. Okay, we have a present, middle, indicative of where God's am I. Write it on the board, won't mean a thing to you, and I have no reason to. Sometimes I do because it's something I can do with a word. This word, the Greek word, means to work or to produce. The root is ergon, to work, but it has it's one of those rich words that has a lot of nuances and things, richer things that you can do with it, depending, and this is where the Holy Spirit leads a lot in this kind of thing. But God's about to work or to produce. This is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of the believer, to work or to produce. For the sorrow, the grief that is according to God, produces. Okay, you with me? Produces. Ooh. Produces. Works or produces in you. This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not always the work of God, the Holy Spirit, meaning it doesn't always produce all. It's what is needed by that believer at that point. God the Holy Spirit knows and will bring it about. Now, in our wisdom, we might think we know. But your best bet, and it's not a cop-out prayer, it's a very powerful prayer. Don't tell him. Well, Holy Spirit, this is what I want you to do with my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my friend, this and that. I want you to go in and, boy, I want you to just, you know, and I want you to bring them to Saul. I want you to do this. What I want them, the desire of my soul, is that they be reconciled with you and walk in the power of the Spirit and spiritual love flow in and out of them. Right now, they're in a sin momentum. So, Father, send your Spirit to do His work. Whatever will do that for them. I don't know. Who would have thought? Which one of us would have thought? A king, power, strong, rich, just committed adultery, then committed murder, totally insensitive to the fact that he had done that. Boy, God's going to have to really do something for David. Boy, God's going to have him out on the battlefield and just shake him up. God's going to have to throw him down to the ground and just stomp on him. Who would have thought? Having Nathan walk in and say, David, I want to tell you about a man who has a sheep. One little sheep. That's all he has. Just a, you know, we might call it a sloppy, sentimental story. Oh, man, this isn't going to work on somebody like David. Got to be tough. This poor man has one little sheep. That's all he's got. And somebody else came in and took this one little sheep. What do you think we ought to do? That did it. Boy, David's self-righteousness popped into gear. And man, everything just started happening inside of his soul flesh. And then Nathan says, that's you. That's all it took. And the man like found it. I've been a sinner all my life and didn't even know it. From the womb, I am wretched. Same thing Paul said. What got him to that point? People, I don't know what's going to do it for these people. So we pray because we care, because of love, and we want them back, reconciled with God. This is what you want. check yourself out first. It's the first thing you want to do. Am I doing this out of love? Am I doing it because I'm angry? Because I'm self-righteous? Am I doing this because of the love of Christ to put him on a cross? And that guides you. That's what we're studying Tuesday and Wednesday night. Won't be meeting tomorrow night. Please be in prayer. Teaching of the word, not springs out of control. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for this whole scenario with Paul and the Corinthians, Father. We see it from their aspect, what's going on in their soul. Then the drama shows us Paul's soul, what's going on in his soul. Then we see it from your perspective, your will, your work. What a privilege we have, Father. We get a three-dimensional movie here. We get to see it from all the perspectives and the character of everybody, what's going on inside the Corinthians and what's going on inside Paul and what's going on inside you. But Father, it is our objective and our prayer to take heed and to store these things in our soul, Father, that we might be used in a way, Father, that we can do these things in spiritual life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.